Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this evening program. This segment of love, forgiveness, and second chances. This is Valerie, your hostess, Valerie Harris. I'm sorry for those of you who don't know me, is your hostess for the evening. Let us go before the throne of grace in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord God. We lift up your holy and righteous name. Father, we thank you for this season. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. May I decrease and you increase, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Father, I honor you on tonight. I give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise in the name of Jesus. I want to start out this evening with a song that God has had on my heart, and it's actually part of the message on tonight. And it may be familiar to most of you, some one of the old ones. What shall I render unto God for all his blessings? What shall I render? Tell me, what shall I give? God has everything, and everything belongs to him. God has everything, and everything belongs to him. Tell me, what shall I render? Tell me, what shall I give? That's the question on tonight, is what shall I render unto God for all of his blessings and all of his mercies? This is the season, the holiday season of Christmas coming up, time that most of the earth has dedicated to the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, to be honest, Jesus wasn't born on Christmas Day. The historians say that because of the way the scriptures read, that he and Mary were traveling to go and pay their taxes. It was a warm time of season, and December is cold. But historically, the Catholic Church selected that day around a Roman festival, but it's a day that we celebrate the birth of Christ. To be honest, every day is his birthday, because when one person accepts Christ in their heart, they're born again of the Spirit. And so we can celebrate him every day. Most of the times around Christmas, it's really not about what we give to him, because we're buying gifts for others, for our children and our loved ones and our friends, and we're exchanging gifts, and everything is festive. We put up the lights, we put up the trees, and we say we're celebrating Christ's birthday, but we're giving everyone a gift. But what shall we render unto him? My granddaughter texted me a few weeks ago around Thanksgiving, and she sent in this text, her wish list of things that she wanted for Christmas. And hers was kind of reasonable, but those were the things that she desired. And then she sent me a text of her brother's wish list. Now, his was a little bit more expensive. And I'm saying, you may not get everything on that list that you want, because that's a little bit out of my range. And so we all kind of have an idea when it comes to Christmas of something special that we might want, something we may have saved up for the whole year, something we desire for our mate or our friends or our loved ones to get us. And we also have an idea of what we're going to give us. But the question tonight is, what should we give to him? What should we give to our Lord and Savior? What shall we give to God? Because he gave us the greatest gift of all when he sent his son to the earth to save us, to deliver us from destruction, and to turn us back to him. But what shall we give him in return? When it's a season that we set aside to celebrate him, what can we give God who owns everything? He owns the earth is the Lord and the fullness of it. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Everything belongs to him. So what can we bring him that he doesn't already have? Psalms 24 says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell within. For he had founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that had clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. When you think about this, you know, God has a purpose and a plan for each one of our lives. And I know that many on this line are not just called, but they're chosen by God. We've been following after God for years, loving people, helping people, serving people. And what God has been showing me over the past few weeks is that sometimes he can give us an instruction. And I'm not even going to talk about you. I'm going to talk about me. And I'll start running with everything that I have to fulfill what I believe that he's spoken in my spirit to do, to get it done. But sometimes we get so involved in doing the good things that we set aside the most important thing there is, and that's God himself. Jesus would minister to the thousands. He went about doing good works, healing the sick, delivering the people from demonic influences and forces, teaching them, blessing them, encouraging them, giving sight to the blind, opening deaf ears, ministering the gospel, restoring us back to God. And giving his very life for us so that he could fulfill the will of his Father. But even with his popularity, even with how the multitudes would follow after him and run after him and search him out. He always found time to withdraw from the crowds and go spend some alone time with the Father. He would leave them. His disciples didn't even know where he was. And neither does the scripture talk about what they spoke about. God wants an intimate relationship with his people, with his children, with his called, with his chosen. It's just like when you fall in love and you get married, or you're dating somebody and you're courting, and you have all these emotional feelings toward one another where you really, really, really care about somebody and you're building this relationship. It's hard to find two people apart. Everywhere you look, you see one, you see the other. I remember when I was dating my husband before we got married, we talked every single day. And rarely a day that went by that we weren't in each other's presence. But once over a period of time, when you're working and you have children, and now we have grandchildren, and you develop all these other relationships, that time that we had in the beginning kind of dwindled away. Doesn't mean that we don't love one another. It just means that the relationship has changed. And that happens to a lot of couples, a lot of relationships. In the beginning, there's a fire, there's an intimacy, there's conversation all the time. And now sometimes I come home from work and I don't want to talk to nobody, just to be quiet because I talk all day long. But the thing is our relationship with God, God still wants the intimacy. He said that he's a jealous God. The disciples asked Jesus a question, and they said, "What is the greatest commandment?" Well, it may not have been his disciples that asked him that question. Let me rephrase that. But he was asked the question. What is the greatest commandment? And he said, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with everything in you. Love God. And he said, the second commandment is somewhat like the first. Love one another. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Upon these two commandments, everything else is fulfilled. A lot of times when we talk about the commandments, we only talk about the 10. But I have a study Bible that points out over 5,000 commandments written in the scriptures. But he said, if you fulfill these two, love God passionately, intimately, put him first, and then love one another as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then he came up with a third one that he posed. He said, but I want you to love each other as I have loved you. No greater love can a man have than he would lay down his life for his friends. So what shall we render unto God. Many times we find ourselves doing so much for other people, or just trying to get through the day to get everything on our to-do list out of the way. We have to go to work. Some of us have to take the kids to school, have to cook breakfast, come home and cook dinner, have to take care of your bills, go and see about somebody else. And before you know it, your day is spent. You're talking to God while you're on the go, but where is the intimate time with God? If you think back on when your relationship started, how has it changed? Doesn't mean that we don't love God. It doesn't mean that at all. And we're trying to fit him into our schedule sometimes, when we should be centering our schedule around him. And then he'll come along after a while and he'll say, just be still and know that I'm God. Because we can run ourselves till we run ourselves empty, still trying to do the best we can to fulfill God's purpose and his plans. I believe that after Christ ministered to the multitude, then he went to spend time with the Father, is that he sat there in God's presence until God filled him again so he could go out again. Because when you saw him moving, he was moving in power. He was moving in signs and wonders and miracles. He had discernment. He had wisdom. He walked in the things of God because he said he didn't do anything that God didn't want him to do. He didn't say, he only spoke what God said and only did what he saw his Father do. But he had an intimate relationship with God. I'm not talking about a hit and miss relationship. I'm talking about the passion that we had for God when we first started with this relationship with God. I had people who thought I was crazy because I was so hungry for God. My father would talk about me because he said every time he looked at me, I had a book in my hand. I still carry books, but I'm too busy to read them. My bed would be full of books. I would go to sleep with the Bible under my head. I wanted to get the word any kind of way I could. I was so hungry and desperate to know this God, because he touched my life. And I couldn't get enough of him. He filled me to overflowing. And when you find yourself empty, and when you find yourself where your relationship is not like it was back then, we need to pause and redirect and be still. The Israelites were in the desert, were in the wilderness, when God had sent Moses to deliver them out of the hand of Pharaoh. And they became a stiff-necked people, rebellious, disobedient, wanting what they had in Egypt because they didn't like the fact that they were going to a place that they didn't know, that things were unfamiliar, that they didn't have food readily at their disposal. They had to depend on God to rain manna from heaven. And they began to look backwards, thinking that it was more convenient for them to be enslaved, and they were comfortable in their slavery when he was bringing them to liberty and freedom and prosperity. And God told Moses, he said, Moses, I'm sending you to a land filled with milk and honey. I'm sending you to the promised land, but I won't go with you. Moses began to cry out to God. He said, if you don't go, I don't want to go. Don't leave us here, Father. I need you. I only want to be where you are. God was going to still fulfill his promise, but Moses knew what the most important thing was, and that was his presence. What shall we render unto this God who delivered us, who saved us, who changed us, who's watched over us, who loved us so much that he gave his best? What's on his wish list? What is his desire? What does God want? In John chapter 4, you find Moses talking to a woman at a well. And this woman speaks to him. And she says that our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people are to worship. Jesus said, woman, believe me. The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We were created to worship. We were created for his purpose. We were created for his plans, for his delights. While he was pondering and thinking upon us, he wanted more children. He wanted more sons. God is love. And so he created us to be like him. But he never intended for us to be without him and to not include him in all of our plans. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. He wants to comfort us. He wants us to know his love and his presence. Have you ever just gone before God and just knelt and bowed before him and say, Lord, I don't want anything. All I want is you. All I want is your presence. There's nothing more that I desire. The world can wait, but I need you. And it's not like you have to share many words, but you just open up your heart and sit in his presence. There's nothing more precious than being in his presence. He doesn't have to say a word, but to just sit there in his arms and know that he's there. I'm not talking about just where he says that, you know, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But to be in his presence. And you can feel his touch. Moses cried out to him, Father, let me see your glory. I want your presence. And I can only imagine that when Jesus drew away from the crowds, that was his cry, Father, I just want to be in your presence. The world can wait, but I need you. I know I spoke once before about my grandson that was helping him with his homework. And he said, he began to cry. And I stopped and I put him in my lap and I said, what's wrong? Why are you weeping? He said, because I was just thinking about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And I was just rocking it. And tears was flowing down his eyes and he fell asleep. And God spoke to me. He said, that's what I want for you to come to me as a child and sit in my lap and rest, trusting him to lead and guide and to comfort and to fill us. We talked about the all last week. All last week we were talking about God's anointing. I'm going to close with this. There's a story in the Bible of about 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 wise virgins had their oil lamps full of oil. And the 5 foolish lamps, they had oil, but they weren't full. The oil represents the anointing. They were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And so the foolish virgins wanted to get some of the wise virgins' oil. And they told them, no, you go buy some for yourself. So they left to go buy some oil. And when they came back, they found that the bridegroom had come and the door was shut and they were unable to enter. We have to keep our lamps full because that's the only way we're going to be invited in. He's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. But if our lamps are running half full, or if our lamps are empty, we won't be able to go in. Remember, they had oil, and they were anointed, but they were foolish, and we're foolish to run on empty, and we're foolish to run ahead of God, and we're foolish not to pause and keep the fire in our relationship with Him burning. Oh, God. Our hearts belong to you, God. I pray, Father, that you will find us passionate for you. All we want is you. As we come into this season to celebrate the birth of your Son and for what you have offered to the world, Lord, we just want you. And Lord, I know that you want us. So I pray, God, that if there's anything lacking and broken in our relationship, Father, just draw us near. You said that if we draw nigh unto you, that you would draw nigh unto us. And so, Father, the gift we bring is us. We bring to you our lives. We bring to you our hearts so that we can just sit and rest in your presence and be filled with your presence, Lord. We love you, God. And we don't want to be anywhere that you're not. I ask you for nothing more, God, on tonight than your presence. We worship you, Lord. And the beauty of your holiness. Father, I pray that you would manifest your presence in each and every heart, in each and every life, as we draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to us, Lord. This is my prayer. This is my declaration, Lord. I give you the glory. I give you the honor. And I give you all of the praise. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. The lines are open. This is your time for any comment. Or to answer that question. What will you render unto God?
I will render all that I have belong to Him. I will render to Him what He's done for me, how He watched over and kept me. I will render all that I have. Mind, body, and soul. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody got the switch on. Please turn it off.
Amen.
Anything you would like to say?
Amen.
Any thoughts?
Go ahead.
I thank God for what I did here, and I heard you talk about the young man that was weeping, and that is so powerful, because we don't cry out to God enough to let Him know how much we appreciate Him, we love Him, we thank Him, without going to Him saying, "This is what I need, or this is what I want." We don't cry out enough. And we have a comforter, the Holy Spirit, you know. And when you were saying that, I thought about it, because you know how we can misplace something, or we need something, and we look, and when you cry out, when the righteous cry out, God said, "I hear them." And I was on a journey today, and I was looking for something, trying to get something done, and I said, "Holy Spirit, you're going to have to show me, because I don't know where it's located. I don't know where to look. And He sent me right to the place that I needed to go. He leads, He guides, He directs our path when we have a relationship with Him. When we won't give up for nothing and nobody. I've come across people who said that they didn't believe. I said, I have to stand up. Whether they believe or not, we got to stand on this word. We got to stand on it. And so when I heard you say the young man was crying out, I'm like, that's what we don't do enough, cry out to Him and let Him know that we are so grateful for what He has done, what He is doing in our life, and how He's bringing us out of things, you know, what He's done for us. And I just wanted to say that because, I mean, to cry out to Him, you know, from your heart, it means so much, you know. So I just wanted to make that comment. I had to say something about that. So, and I thank you for bringing that out.
God bless you.
God bless
Anyone
you
else?
As well.
Amen. I want to thank Minister Valerie for inviting me, first of all, and thank God for giving me the opportunity even to be here to hear what was said. But what really caught my attention when I was listening was when she was talking about Moses and the children of Israel and how they had been delivered from a place that they prayed for to be delivered from. But in the midst of them being free of that place, they wanted to go back to what they were so comfortable with. And in that comfort area, they felt like that what they had before or where they were before was better than where they were going and what God had planned for them. And all I can think of is how easy it is for us, even us as believers, to revert back to old behavior, whether it be in Christ or not. You know, we try our best to get back to having that relationship with God that we once had, that first love. But for reasons we can't always see, it seems as though that's a battle to get back to that we did so well in the beginning, or that we the way we loved Him so much in the beginning, that prayer life we had in the beginning, that faith, that trust that we had in the beginning. So I was, when she mentioned that about Moses and about the children wanting to go back to where they felt comfortable for, that's how the enemy works in our life, trying to bring us back to, take us back to the place where we shouldn't be, but not allow us to go into the place that we desire to go. So I was, as he was talking, I could see, all I can think of was how I so desire even today to have such a relationship that I remember having once before in my life with Christ. Not saying that the relationship that I have now isn't a great one, but I remember having one that was phenomenal, that blew my mind all the time. Just you know, His amazing grace was always present, and it is still now. But because of situations and things that's going on in our lives, we do like the children of Israel. Sometimes we want to go back. We want to go back into the comfort zone, not necessarily back into bondage, but in that area of comfort that we have found, that we think that that's where we should be or what's best for us. And I just want this year coming in, I just want a newness. I want a restoring. I want a renewal like never before for my life, because I want that relationship that Minister Valerie was talking about with Christ. I want that relationship.
As I sit here and hear all the conversations, I just want to think about that question, what shall we render to the Lord, for he does so much for us. I was thinking we're in that season, and I guess a few years ago it was said, what we're in the season, and Jesus was the reason for the season. But I think that we're the reason for Jesus Christ, because the Father, from the foundation of the earth, sent his Son that we would have salvation through him. You know, we think about the gifts that we get through this time of the year. And I was thinking about the three gifts that we get. We get the Father. He's a wonderful gift. We get the Son and the Holy Spirit, that Holy Comforter. And also, you know, as Jesus Christ himself, born in a manger, having nothing, he received gifts from kings, three kings. They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And what does the Lord want from us that we could give to him, that we could glorify his name? If I were to give anything or render anything to the Lord, I would render what he would accept. And that's love, forgiveness, and most of all, that repentance, that we could be with him when that gates are open wide and Jesus Christ ushers in to be in that kingdom with him. So it's been a wonderful thing. Even the song that Sister Valerie was singing, that rendering things to God, for he's worthy to be praised and to be honored and glorified for all things. So we're thankful for the words that came forth, and even for those who spoke up so far, that we might even rejoice with them. God bless all of you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else?
Yes, Sister Valerie, thank you for that message today, and I enjoyed.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hold on? Someone was speaking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. We can hear you. I mean, we couldn't at first. Go ahead.
Who, Mary?
I guess so. Go ahead, Mary, because I think she.
I just wanted to say that the message was such a message of worship, of inner assessment, of gratitude, a heart of gratitude to God, of acknowledging that we are nothing apart from him, of knowing that we are complete in him, not because of our righteousness or our good works, but by his grace and love alone. Thank you so much for that message. That every day of our lives, not just in this season, we should always show a heart of gratitude to God for all he continuously do for us. Because most often we fall into that human emotional tendency of every little thing, we complain, we grumble, we shout, we get angry. Sometimes we even ask God, why me? Then we forget those little things he does for us, even the miracle of sleeping and waking up, even the bread on our table, the thing of water we drink, the air we breathe. We don't appreciate God enough. Thank you so much, Sister Valerie, for that message. May God bless you and anoint you more in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Yes, I was just saying that, you know, I thank you so much for tonight's message. And when you were talking about when you first started, how you loved God and how you studied and how you just every little chance you get, that, you know, you come to it. But as we grow older and everything and things start changing and we have less time then when we started, and you know, it's, and when you come to yourself, he reminds you sometime of just come to me, and you say, Lord, how did I stray so far away? You know, but with everything else and all focuses on different things and all, it causes us to not take as much time with him as we should. But you know, I just thank you so much for tonight. And as one of my gifts to him this season, I started reading the book of Luke to learn more about him. It's 24 chapters in Luke. And if you started on December the 1st, on Christmas morning when you wake up, you would have known so much more about his life and his teaching and his things for us. So that was one thing that I decided to do, to get closer with him. So thank you so very much.
Bless you. Anyone else?
It was great teaching tonight, Sister Valerie, and just thinking about what we're going to render to God. You touched so many areas tonight with a very passionate teaching, and I just want to thank you. I do want to render more of my time to be more intimate. I was reminded how excited I was when I was a new believer. I've always been in church, but just when I received such a close, intimate, personal relationship, I remember those days as well. So you really had me to refocus and just remember how things were and how God really wants to stay. He didn't move, we moved. And so I just want to, you challenged me to get a little bit more close and to do a little bit more. And like Dr. Hunter said, we are the gift. We are his gift. So thank you for your teaching tonight, Sister Val. I really enjoyed it. Love you, prayer family.
Thank you. God bless you. That's something that I find myself pondering on daily now, you know, because it's so easy to get caught up with life and doing good things and, you know, even with church and consumed about everything. But he say he's God is a spirit. And we must worship him in spirit and in truth. You said it so greatly that it's not by our works, even though he's called us to a work. He tells us to work while it's day because the night is sure to come. He's given us assignments to, we're the vessel that he's chosen to operate through. And sometimes we get to the point where we're doing it and it becomes us and not him. And we have to, like you said, refocus, get back to where the balance is. When the voices in your head and the thoughts in your head become so much, we have to get single focus again because it's too many sounds, it's too many voices, it's too many directions when that's the only voice that we should desire to hear is his. We even have to shut our voice down sometimes just to get refocused and balanced in him. One thing that I'm aware of is that God is not going to compete for our attention. But he'll draw away just enough where you'll know that your spirit is uneasy because he'll draw us back to him. his love begins to draw. I like that scripture where it says, as a deer pants for the water brooks, or my soul longs for you. And he doesn't let us get too far. But he knows everything. And he said that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. I was speaking to my friend today, and she was telling me something that was just so profound to me, why you find yourself in the valley and why you find yourself in the dry places. Start digging wells while you're there. Because God is going to fill those wells even when we're in the dry places. Dig wells. One day I'm going to ask her to come on the line and talk about that, because there was so much revelation in that and so much encouragement. But she had to go through something to get that message. And a lot of times you find that we go through persecution and we go through trials and we go through those desert places. But that's just it. We go through them. He never means for us to stay. He allows us to go through. But there's a promised land on the other side of that. There's blessings when we're going through wilderness places and dry places. But he wants us to go through them with him. He wants to lead us and guide us into those places. He wants to be our wisdom and our helper and our shepherd. Just to be his children. And I'm so grateful that he loves us enough that he tells us to come and be still. He tells us to come and to wait. He tells us to come and depend upon him and trust him. And I'm so grateful and thankful for him. And then, like I say, there are times, even in the stillness, where his presence just overtake us. And it's nothing that I've ever experienced in my life that compare to his presence.
Ooh.
Anyone else? Y'all just kind of touched me on that. I was really giving y'all time to speak, but that one kind of drew something else out of me. Pastor Greg, are you on the line?
You know, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Well, thank you very much.
I want to say thank you for your great teaching tonight. Truly, truly enjoyed the way you took your time and really and truly made sure that we understand your teaching tonight. So I want to say thank you, Sister Valerie, for your teaching tonight. Love you very much. Looking forward to everything that God is going to do to you and through you to give to us. Thank you very much for your word.
Amen, amen. Do you mind closing us in prayer?
I would love to. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we want to say thank you. Father, we thank you for what we've heard tonight. We thank you, Father, for the food that you've given to us tonight to digest. And I ask right now, God, that as we go throughout just the rest of this evening, Father, let us just give you all the praise and all the glory tonight because of everything that you have done already. We look forward to what you're going to do, but we appreciate everything that you're doing right now. Father, we thank you for Sister Valerie tonight. Now we ask, God, that you will pour back into her everything that she poured out to us tonight. Thank you for Dr. Hunter's leadership. Thank you, Father, for everybody that came on the line tonight, Father. And we ask right now, God, that you will continue to lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Valerie. Love you very much.
Love you, too. Love you, too.
Something,
Mary, your phone is unmuted, so we hear some background noise. And again, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for meeting us here, for us being together as a family, hungry for God. And as Pastor Greg prayed over each and every one of us, I truly believe in the priesthood. So thank you, Pastor Greg. I just feel like, you know, it's a special covering that comes on us when a man goes before God in his priestly garments and begin to cover us and pray. I honor that. So thank you so much for that. If just have a great week. And I encourage each and every one of you to rest in God. And if there are any places in your life that seems empty, let us just allow him to fill those empty places. Be full of joy, blessings, and peace is my prayer. Amen, amen. Until next time, have a wonderful evening. God bless you all.
Amen. Yeah, have a blessed night.
You too. Take care.
Yeah.